This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning. This time for real. I apologize for the delay again. And Parshas Noach. Bruchim Abam to the Kollel Agra de Pirka, B'chol Makayim Shenimtsaim. I want to begin by analyzing a Rashi, one of the most well-known Rashis in Chumash, and perhaps we're going to open up new vistas of understanding Rashi. The Chidah brings down that before Rashi wrote his commentary, he fasted 613 Tanisim. And the comments of Rashi have Kabbalistic meaning as well, even though you read Rashi and it seems to be containing very elementary and simple information. But nevertheless, digging deeper, the words of Rashi contain really very mystical and deep nuggets and so forth. Now, I want to begin by reading a very simple Rashi. Rashi, in the beginning of Noach, Rashi is bothered by the following question. Rashi says in number 8, "B'tevasoi shel Moshe, by the box of Moshe, al yedei shehoyu hamayim nochem, tashim, because the water was calm, daya b'choymer mibefnim v'zefes mibachatz." It was enough to put tar only on the outside and mortar on the inside. V'oid, and furthermore, k'dei shelo yariach oisai tzadik, so that tzadik does not smell reach ra shel zefes, the bad odor of tar. Aval kan, but over here, m'mnei choyzek hamayim, because of the strength of the water, zafta mibayis mechutz, they tarred it from the inside and the outside. This, to me, is one of the most difficult Rashis in all of Chumash. Rashi seems to be very simple. Rashi is bothered by Akasha. Why is it that by Moshe Rabbeinu, they put tar on the outside and cement on the inside, and by the Teva of Noach, they put v'chafarta mibayis umichutz ba'koifer? All of a sudden, Rashi got a job for UPS, and he's a shipper. And Rashi has a kasha. Why is it that when Noach built a boat bigger than the Titanic, in raging hot waters, they have to put tar on the inside and the outside, and when Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting in a calm river on the Nile, among the reeds, they had to put tar only on the outside? Ki'ilu, these are the only two boxes in history. And even though one is about 5,000 times bigger than the other one, and the conditions were a million times more hostile and volatile than the other, Rashi feels that all boxes in the world have to have the same shipping instructions. I mean, Avakasha, imagine you went into a UPS store and you saw one box, they were shipping Echves, copy machines that weighed 2 tons, and it was in a cardboard box, corrugated cardboard reinforced, and in the other one, they're sending in an envelope, a little tzetel, and you have a kasha, why the check in the envelope is not in heavy-duty cardboard, and the copy machine is in corrugated reinforced. I mean, would you ask such a question? Different strokes for different folks. It all depends on the conditions. All of a sudden, Rashi is a delivery man, and Rashi wants to know that Rashi feels every single box has to be exactly the same. Why in the world does the Teva of Moshe have to be identical to the Teva of Noach? What in the world do they have to do with each other? In what way are they connected? Why and how are they similar? What's this all about? What's Rashi bothered by? Rashi, oh, you know why? Because we don't want the tzaddik to have to smell the bad smell, so we only did it on the inside. And also the waters were calmer. I mean, this is a shakla v'tarya. What's the kasha? Imagine you went outside in the nighttime and you said, I don't understand. It was light during the day. Why isn't it light at night? Oh, the answer is because the sun is shining during the day and the sun is not shining at night. Whoa, what an amazing chiddush. So what's Rashi bothered by in the first place? Why does Moshe's boat in any way have to resemble Noach's boat? What's this all about? And Bechlal, you know, Paro made a decree, Kol haben hayiloid hayo'ira tashlichuhu. Every child that's born has to be thrown into the river. So presumably Moshe Rabbeinu's mother was trying to save his life. So how is this a manner of Hatzalah by putting Moshe Rabbeinu in a box? Is that going to save his life? Is that a safe way to take care of a kid? If you want to have any hope your child will be saved, so leave him at a doorstop with a little note, like, you know, people did in the Holocaust maybe, or so forth. I just read an account of a priest who realized later in life that he was actually adopted. And it turned out he had a Jewish father and mother, and they gave him up for adoption, you know, at the start of the Holocaust. But to put Moshe Rabbeinu in Sakana and put him in the river where all the Jewish babies had to be drowned, I mean, he's easy prey to the crocodiles and the snakes of the Nile. I could have thought of better ways to save somebody. Okay, so let's begin in the beginning. Eile Toldois Noach. So, Rabbi Yisai, how do we know the Torah was written for people of who are hard of hearing? Eile Toldois Noach. Oh, who? Noach! You know? This pasuk was written for people, for senior citizens. What's going on here? We got it the first time. This is not very complicated. We just said his name is Noach. You already forgot his name? Eile Toldois Noach. Who? Noach. What's going on over here? Eile Toldois Noach. Is Sadik Tamim Hayabadai Yosav? What's going on? Okay, we move on. Furthermore, the pasuk says Tamim Hayabadai Yosav. He is wholesome in his generations. I mean, you can only live in one generation. What does it mean, his generations? How many generations were there? Now, at the end of the parshas, Bereishis. So why did Noach deserve to be saved? God said, I'm going to wipe out man. I always, by the way, find it very interesting. You know, we have a mitzvah to obliterate Amalek. It would seem like a very harsh mitzvah, like a cruel mitzvah. But I think of it, this is a mitzvah of emulating Hashem, because two times in the Chumash it says, Emche. Ki machai emche zecher Amalek. And it says, Yem Hashem, Emche es ha'adam, Hashem barasi. So by us wiping out Amalek, I think that's a fulfillment of emulating the ways of Hashem, who blotted out the Dar HaMabel. So you say, what does Amalek have to do with the Dar HaMabel? Very simple. What does it say about the Dar HaMabel? Rak. Ra kol hayoim soife tevois Amalek. So the shoresh hara of Amalek perhaps is already found in the Dar HaMabel. So the same way God eradicated that evil, our kavana in eradicating Amalek perhaps should be an emulation of the ways of Hashem in blotting out the Dar HaMabel. But be it as it may, God wanted to destroy all of mankind. The animals, the fish, the birds, so on and so forth. And of course, the human race. Except for Noach. V'hi Noach ma'atzachein b'nei Hashem. Why did Noach deserve to be saved? He was charming. Meaning, it seems like he deserved to be destroyed. And perhaps he was guilty, as was the rest of the generation. Why was he saved? I don't know, God said, I like your tie, you know, there's something about you that I just like, so I'm going to look the other way and save you. He didn't deserve to be saved, but he was matzachin b'nei Hashem. And the very next pasuk contradicts that. The very next pasuk says, by the way, who's Noach? He's a tzaddik, he's a tamim, he walks with God, he's a really good guy, he's a really righteous individual. So what was it? Was it that Noach was matzachin, or was he in fact a tzaddik? Now, the Shvilei Pinchas asks, by the way, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Af al Noach nechtach gezar din, the decree was cut on Noach as well, Ela shematzachin b'inei Hashem, but he found favor in the eyes of God. Shenemar, nichamti ki asisem, I regret that I made them. V'noach matzachin b'inei Hashem. In other words, the Gemara is saying Noach didn't deserve to be saved, but he found favor, and yet the next pasuk says he was a righteous individual. So what happened here? That is the question of the Shvilei Pinchas in general, he asks. We know God does not take bribery. He does not take shoychad. He does not fall for sheker hachein vehevel hayoyfi. He doesn't fall for empty flattery and empty grace. So how was it that Noach was saved? Now, let's go to the Gemara in Chulen. So I'm going to tell you, actually, a very interesting thing. Somebody came to me 4 years ago, exactly 4 years ago, and he said that he has a raya in the Torah that Trump will not be elected. I said, really? What's your raya? He said, my raya is because he did a computer search and he found many, many ramazim to Obama and Clinton, and he didn't find any ramazim to Trump. So that's a raya Trump on the side. I said, just the opposite. It's a raya Trump will be elected. He said, how is it a raya he will be elected? I said, very simple. The Gemara in Chulin asks, Haman min ha-Torah minayin, Moshe min ha-Torah minayin, Esther min ha-Torah minayin. The Gemara doesn't ask, Achashverosh min ha-Torah minayin. Why not? Because there's no such thing as an entity of a world leader. The world leader is just a puppet in the hands of Hashem. Lev malachim, biyad Hashem. So the world leader will not be alluded to in the Torah because he's not an independent entity. So the same way Achashverosh is not in the Torah, I said, Donald John Ben, what's his father's name?
Fred.
Donald John Ben Fred is also, doesn't have to be Merumas in the Torah. So that's just a point to ponder. Not any way connected to this week's parasha or anything else. Okay. And also the political views of the Magid Shir do not necessarily reflect the general views of Koilel Agra de Pirka. Okay, but be it as it may, in Chulin, the Gemara has a kasha, Moshe min ha-Torah minayin. Where is there a remez to Moshe? B'shagam hu basar. The gematria of B'shagam is Moshe 345. And what does it say? Vayomer Hashem. Vayomer Adoy Shem. Lo yadayin ruchi v'adam le'oilam b'shagam. It says, my spirit will no longer contend with man forever. B'shagam huvasar. Because they also have this quality that their flesh, it's his days will be 120 years. So b'shagam is gematria Moshe. And here's there's a remez to the 120 years of Moshe. And I'm looking at this, you got to be kidding me. Is there a remez to Moshe in the Torah? Why would you need a remez to Moshe? There's no name in the Torah that appears more than Moshe. Moshe's name appears 613 times. I need a remez to Moshe. What do you need a remez to Moshe? It says his name more often than any other name. Why do I need a remez to Moshe? By the way, they once asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, how many times does it say Moshe in the Torah? He said 613. So they did a computer search and they came to 614. They said, Reb Chaim, maybe you're off by one. He said, no, the computer made a mistake because the pasuk says, Kol Baal Mashe Yodai. It says Mem Shin Hei. It doesn't refer to Moshe, but it's the letters Mem Shin Hei. So you got to fix your computer, but it says Moshe 613 times. But interestingly, why do I need a remez to Moshe? Rashi in Chulin says, B'shagam b'gamatria k'may Moshe. Uchsiv sham v'hayu yamav me'a v'esrim shana. V'kach hayu yimei chayei Moshe. K'loimar osid lavoi b'shagam. The b'shagam is destined to come. Moshe min hanhoiladim, from those who will be born. V'chein yamav, and that's the number of years that he lived. Marv Rabbeisai, why do I need a remez to Moshe? And if I do need a remez to Moshe, why dafka at this juncture? So let's talk about a very interesting topic. We've mentioned this a number of times over the years, and that is the subject of tzaddik. How many people in the Chumash are called a tzaddik? And the answer is, only one individual in Chumash is called a tzaddik, and he lived before the Torah was given, and his name is Noach. Ela toldos Noach, Noach ish tzaddik. How about anybody else? Well, Yosef is called a tzaddik, but not in the Chumash, in the Navi. The Navi Amos says, Koyom Ar Hashem Al Shloshah because they sold the tzaddik for money. So Noach is called a tzaddik. Yosef is called a tzaddik. Marv Raboisai, why were they called a tzaddik? What do you have to do to be called a tzaddik? Do you have to get a degree in tzidkus? Do you need to get like some kind of certificate, tzaddik schooling, tzaddik badge? So the Medrash Tanchuma, we said this over many times, said to be a tzaddik means to feed Hashem's creations. Two people fed all of creation. Noach fed all the man and animal in the Teva, and Yosef, like it says, Vayashber Yosef, Vayechal Kel Yosef. So the question I once heard from Rav Isaac Bernstein was, there is another entity called Tzaddik, namely God, Tzaddik Hashem b'chol d'rachav. And he said the answer is very simple, because immediately before Tzaddik Hashem b'chol d'rachav is Poseach es yodecho mazbiya l'chol chai ratzoin. God feeds all of creation, so Tzaddik Hashem b'chol d'rachav. Beautiful. Marv Raboisai, I found the third person called a Tzaddik. Not in the Chumash, not in the Nevi'im, not in the Ksuvim, Rashi. And as far as I know, Rashi only calls this individual tzaddik one time. Even though this was the greatest person who ever lived, Moshe Rabbeinu is given smicha from Rashi. Rashi calls Moshe a tzaddik. When? When he's in a box. Says Rashi, you know why there was no tar on the inside of Moshe's box? Kedei shelo yariach. Oisoi tzaddik reach ra. Oh, Rashi gave Moshe tzaddikness, tzaddikality. Rashi has bequeathed to Moshe Rabbeinu tzaddikality. All of a sudden, Moshe in the box is shelo yariach oisoi tzaddik. So I have a question for you. Why, of all places, does Rashi refer to Moshe Rabbeinu as a tzaddik in the box? When he goes up to Har Sinai to get the Torah, we don't call him the tzaddik. When he brings, you know, when he takes us out of Egypt, it doesn't say, Vayaminu b'Hashem uve Moshe tzadkoi, tzidkoi, tzadikoi. Nope, avdoi. Where is Moshe called a tzaddik? In the box. Let's talk about chen. How many people are charming in the Chumash? Well, Noach, v'hinoach ma'atzachin, Avraham, no, Yitzchak, no, Yaakov, no, Yosef, yeah. V'yimtza Yosef chin be'enav. Yosef is charming. By the way, who else is charming? I found an interesting medrash. In Devarim, Eile HaDvarim, Ze Sha'amar HaKosov, Mechiach Adam Acharai, one who rebukes man, aft to follow my word, Chein Yimtza, will find favor, Mimachalik Lashon, from someone, more than someone who's a sweet talker. Meaning, let's say you have two people. One of them sweet talks his students, constituents, you're great, you're a tzaddik, you're wonderful. The person came for Yismach Moshe and Mosaf, and he left even before the Moedim D'Rabbanan. Oh, he's a tzaddik, he's amazing, he's wonderful, he's great, Ashrecha. And somebody else may reprimand him. So who will be more beloved and well-liked? The Medrash says, someone who rebukes will find more favor than someone who sweet talks. Who's an example of this? Rav Pinchas ben Rav Avraham bar Chama Amar Moichiach ze Moshe. Moshe was the rebuker. Adam refers to Klal Yisrael. Shenamar ba'atein tzoni tzemarisi Adam atem. Acharai says the Ribbono Shel Olam Hakadosh Baruch Hu says Moshe, you rebuke Klal Yisrael that they should follow me. Chein yimtza ze Moshe. Shenamar v'gam matzasi chein. Be'enai, Moshe found favor. Marv Raboisai, three people in history are tzaddik. Noach in this week's parsha, Yosef in Parshas Vayeshev, and Moshe Rabbeinu in Rashi in this week's parsha. Three people found favor. Yosef, Moshe, Noach. What is the connection? Comes the Arizal, and the Arizal reveals a startling piece of information. Comes the Holy Ari, quoted by the Chidah. And the Chidah quotes the Arizal, who gives a few introductory principles when it comes to Gilgulim. Now, Marv Raboisai, in the yeshiva that I learned, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to show you on my fingers how many times the subject of Gilgul was mentioned by any Rosh Yeshiva or Rebbe that I had in 25 years in yeshiva, okay? You see my hands? That's the number of times the word Gilgul was mentioned, or the subject of Gilgulim was mentioned. In fact, I remember somebody once asked Rabbi Victor Miller about Gilgulim, and he answered, it's not found in Shas, and therefore I will not speak about it. There's an interesting Rashash.
Telephone, how many times?
Oh, you can't see on the phone. So that's one of the advantages of the Zoom. Next week you have to go on Zoom to get the full color of the share. But as a special courtesy to you, I will tell you.
Thank you.
In the next 3 seconds, I'm going to tell you the number of times that Gilgul was mentioned. You ready? Count to three. 1, 2, 3, 0. Okay? Thank you. A special courtesy for Agra de Perka phone line. Okay. But there's actually an interesting Rashash. The Rashash says, I think it's in the Gemara Bava Metzia, on the pasuk Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, Mikan Raya. This is a proof to those who say that there's something called Gilgulim, which implies that it's not unanimously maintained. And that's a very controversial Rashash. However, we're going to be using the concept of Gilgulim in this year for one simple reason, and that is, nobody should be worried about who they are a Gilgul of. Nobody should have any anxiety over the subject, nor should it be something that occupies your mind at any time. Our job is to follow the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, you get up in the morning, you wash Negel Vasser, you go to Shul, you daven with Kavana, you Kovei Itim LaTaira, you make brachas b'Kavana, you have to be careful in what you say, what you look at, to follow the Shulchan Aruch. Don't worry whether this is your first time around, second time around, it's not really your geschäft. But the reason why we're speaking about it is in the context of Limud HaTorah. Often you read in the narrative of the Chumash, there seem to be details that are not necessary for the storyline. And you sort of wonder, you know, why is it here? Why does the Torah use this word? Why does the Torah discuss this episode? Why is this detail, nekuda, trup, phraseology, terminology? And if sometimes a person understands that there's a lot of background mystical information, and having a little bit of a flavor for it, it gives a deeper appreciation for some of the minutiae and the subtleties of the psukim. So it sort of opens your mind to the depth and the beauty and the grandeur of the Torah. So that's, at least for the way I look at it, one of the advantages of being aware of some of this background information. So the Chidah and the Nachal Kidumim in Ois Gimel says that in the world of Gilgul, the first time around, you're called an Av. The second time around, you're called a Ben. That's the first thing you need to know. The second thing you need to know is Noach had two Gilgulim. Gilgul number one, Yosef HaTzadik. Gilgul number two, Moshe Rabbeinu. Noach came back twice. The first time Yosef, the second time Moshe. By the way, why did he come back as Yosef? The Ramami Pano says in Gogol Neshamos that because Noach became drunk and he was uncovered in his tent, so therefore his rectification was Yosef HaTzadik, who did not drink wine until he saw his brothers. And the Pasuk says, Vayesht Vayishkaru Imai. So that's why Noach was corrected by Yosef. But the first time around, you're called an Av. The second time around, you're called a Ben. So you read the pasuk like this. V'noyach matzachin b'inei Hashem. Noyach found favor in the eyes of God. Why did Noyach find favor? God liked his tie. God liked his voice. No. He was matzachin because Eled told us Noyach. Because Noyach had very prominent gilgulim. You know why God loved Noyach so much? Because you know who came from Noyach? Noyach matzachin, Eled told us Noyach. Who were they? Number one, Noyach ish tzaddik. The tzaddik. Who's the tzaddik? The tzaddik is Yosef. Is a tzaddik. He's the only person called tzaddik. And you know who else was his Gilgal? Tamim Hayu B'day Raisav, the most wholesome, perfect person who ever lived, Moshe Rabbeinu. B'day Raisav, that's two generations. One is Yosef and one is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how you read the psukim. V'noyach matzachin, Noyach found favor. Why? Ela toldois Noyach. Because Noyach had two Gilgulim. Noyach ish tzaddik, the tzaddik, who's Yosef, and Tamim Haya, namely, the Muvchar Sheh, B'min Hu'anushi, namely, Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the Arizal and the Shar HaPsukim in this week's parasha reveals another amazing fact. And that is, why did Noyach have three children? You know why? Because Noyach's Gilgul was Yosef. And the Gematria of Yosef is 156. Gematria, Ben. Son. Three sons. So since Yosef is the Gematria, is the Gilgul of Noyach, and Yosef is Gematria, Ben. So therefore, Noyach gave birth to three children. Okay. Now the Ari, the Chidah, brings something absolutely remarkable. If you look in the Psukim, so the Pasuk says, Vayechi Adam, Vayolad Sheis, Vayolad Enosh, Vayechi Enosh, Vayolad Kenan, Vayechi Kenan, Vayol Mahalala, Vayechi Mahalala, Vayolad Yored, Vayechi Yored, Vayolad Chanoich. By the way, does anybody know how many years Chanoich lived? Don't say it if you know. Only if you don't. How many years did Chanoich live?
I think he lived 967
or 66. Oh, he's still alive.
Rabbi,
no,
he
lived 300
years and then Hashem took him.
Okay.
He's
still alive. Okay. So
far. 300 years in the world and then Hashem took him.
365.
Very good. Who is that? No, actually, he didn't live 300 years, but you're right. What? Who said 365?
Okay,
No, who on the phone? Now we're going to the phone line.
I did.
Who's I?
Menachem.
Menachem what?
Petrushka.
Okay, Shkoyach. So somebody asked me that the other day, and I did not remember. So af chachmasi amdali. So the Gemara says, "Ein adam oimid al tayrasai elam came nichshal by tchila." Chanoich lived 365 years. Anyway, and then it says, "Vayivoled noyach vayirled mesushelach vayirled lamech vayichi lamech." Vayoled Bain. Noyach is the only name not mentioned. And then it says, here, where's the Chumash? One second. The Pasuk says, in the end of Bereshis. The holy Pasuk says, how do I... Rabbi Maskus, how do we mute the phone, please? Vayechi Mesushelach, Shev, Aushmoinim, Shanom, Ashana, Vayelet, Eslomach. Vayechi Mesushelach, okay. Vayechi Mesushelach, Vayelet, Bonim, Uvanois. Vayechi Lemech, Shtaim, Ushmoinim, Shanom, Ashana, Vayelet, Bain. Doesn't say his name. And then it says, Vayikra, Ashemoi, Noyach, Lemoir, Ze, Yinachameinu, Mimasin, Meyetz, Von Yadenu, So basically, when he was born, it doesn't say his name, and later they called him Noach. Why? Because he invented the plow. Now I ask you a question. Let's say they gave him a name on his eighth day or on his first day. I guarantee you he did not invent the plow before his baby naming ceremony. So what exactly happened over here? Why is his name not mentioned? So you could say, well, it's Al Shem HaAsid. They called him Noach, and it had prophetic import to it. Let's see, Rashi. Rashi doesn't say exactly, but the Mefarshim say it was Al Shem HaAsid. However, the Chidah brings that they didn't want to give him a name at the time that he was born because there were a lot of klipos around, and the more something is hidden, the more it's protected from Ayin Hara. So it says Vayoyled Bein. And then later they called him Noach. However, the Arizal says that his father called him Yenachem. So I know we have a Menachem on the phone line. His father called him Yenachem, and Mesushelach called him Noach. Now, why was he called Yenachem? Yenachem is Rashi Tevois, Yosef, Noach, Moshe. Those were all of his people. That's the team, the Yenachem team. Yosef, Noach, Moshe. And the Rashi Tevois of Ela, Toldos, Noach. Noach is 501, Gematria Asher. The Gematria of Moshe and Yosef. The Rashi Tevois, Ela, Toldos, Noach. Noach is Rashi Tevois, Moshe and Yosef. So when Paroi said, Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma, Mi is Moshe and Yosef. I'm not going to listen until Moshe and Yosef get together. And that's Gematria Asher, right? So Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma B'koiloi. Moshe Rabbeinu, Paroi said, I'm not going to listen until the Mi gets together, Moshe and Yosef, Asher, that's their Gematria. So Marv Rabbeisai, Noach, was Matzachin because he came back in two prominent individuals, Yosef and Moshe. Now, what was the sin of Noach? In the Haftarah of this week's Parsha, Ki mei Noach zois li asher nishbati me'avor mei Noach oid al oretz. We know the Mabul was blamed on Noach. Even though we would have thought Noach was a good guy, he saved everybody, he built a teva, but so to speak, we're putting blame on him. That the waters of the Mabul are called Me Noach, the waters of Noach. The waters of Noach. Why are they called the waters of Noach? It's not his fault, he didn't bring the Mabul. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, and the Arizal quotes it, that there is some kind of indictment against Noach. And that is, Noach did not pray for the people of his generation. When God said, I'm going to destroy mankind, Noach should have said, God, spare them. And if you don't spare them, kill me instead and let them live. Noach did not pray for the people of his generation. And because he didn't pray for them, the waters are considered his fault and his responsibility. Who rectified the sin of Noach? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I won't stand for the main Noach. He says to God, when God says, I'm heref mimeni v'ashmidem v'achalo isam, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. Moshe Rabbeinu says, mecheini na. Mecheini na. Mecheini na ar oisi ois. May Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I will pray for them. I will rectify the sin of Noach. Look at number 17. V'yata im tisach atasam. V'imayin mecheini may Noach. I'm going to flip around the may Noach to mecheini. Mecheini is a lashon of michoi, dissolving. That's what happened in the Mabul. Emche. And Moshe Rabbeinu corrected it. Moshe Rabbeinu rectified it. I would like to suggest, it could be that the Arizal even says this, or someone says this, that is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu is alluded to in the context of the Mabul. Vayomer Hashem lo yadon ruchi ba'adam la'olam. My spirit cannot contend with man. B'shegamu basar v'yomei av'esim shana. Because we don't have over here a Moshe Rabbeinu who will live for 120 years who are going to pray for the people, so I'm going to have to destroy them. In other words, the reference to Moshe Rabbeinu is that the reason why God has to destroy the people is really he has no option, he has no alternative. He is not does not have the choice to wait around for the tzaddik who's going to pray and be mevatel this gezerah. So that is the connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mabul, because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to correct the Mimasakein, the Meinoyach, and turn it into Mechinina. Now, it's very interesting. What other indictment was there against Noach? That he did not rebuke the people of his generation. He did not try to bring them back. He could have influenced them more. And Moshe Rabbeinu rectified that as well, because Moshe Rabbeinu, as we saw, Eile HaDvarim, what does it say about Moshe Rabbeinu? Meichiach Adam Acharai Chin Yimtza Mimachlik Lashon V'gam Matzasa Chin Be'inai. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he rectified not praying for the people of his generation. He rectified for not reprimanding and rebuking them. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was able to mechaper for Noach. And therefore, by Noach it says, V'chafarta oisa mibayis u'mechutz ba'koifer, to indicate that the kapara was needed not only on the outside for the people of generation, but mibifnim. Noach also needed kapara. As opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, he only needed the chafarta oisa mibachutz. Moshe Rabbeinu only needed the kapara on the outside, but he himself was rectified. Now, we find an expression. God says to Noach, ki oischa ra'isi tzadik lefanai bador hazeh. For you alone, I see as a righteous man before me in this generation. What does this generation mean? The gematria of Hazeh is 17. It's brought in the Sefer Kisvos HaEfod, quoted by the Shvilei Pinchas, where a lot of the information of this year comes from. In the Sefer Kisvos HaEfod, he brings, we know there are 10 generations from Noach to Abraham. And from Abraham to Moshe, 7 generations. Hazeh, 17. Ki oischa. You could come to the teva. You know why? You know in whose merit you're going to be saved? Ki oischa rizag levanei b'dar hazeh. In 17 generations from now, your Gilgal is your redeeming quality. This is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Levanei b'dar hazeh, 17 generations. The gematria of tzadik levanei b'dar hazeh is the gematria also Moshe Rabbeinu. Perhaps then, it comes out very beautiful that when Yocheved conceived and she gave birth, Vatero Isoi Kitoiv, and she hid him for 3 months, she couldn't hide him anymore. And she put him in a teva, and she coated it with tar on the outside and cement on the inside. By the way, Vatero Isoi Kitoiv, who? Toiv is Gematria 17. Now, Rashi, I believe now, is bothered by quite a remarkable question. Do you know why Yocheved put Moshe in a box? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the tikkun of Noach. And therefore, he's entitled to surely be saved. If Noach was saved in a teva, that, and he was only saved in the zuchus of Moshe, of ki oischa ristag with lefanei b'dar hazeh, because Moshe transformed the main Noach into mechini na, then Yocheved understood that avada and avada, Moshe Rabbeinu certainly could be saved in a teva. What Yocheved was doing is she was merely utilizing the method of Hatzalah that had already been used by this very individual. Why reinvent the wheel when she could just utilize this method of salvation that we know is tried, proven, and tested? So the reason why Yocheved put him in a box is she's entitled to use that very same method of salvation. Now, even though in general Moshe Rabbeinu was not referred to as a tzaddik, but in this context, where he's coming to utilize the Hatzalah of Noach, the proven tzaddik, so Rashi says, that in this context, you know what we're entitled to refer to Moshe Rabbeinu? Rashi understands we're allowed to use this terminology even though it is not used anywhere else. So now Rashi is bothered by Akasha that if Moshe Rabbeinu was put in a teva, because Yocheved was merely utilizing the same method that Noach had already been saved through, then why, just like the teva, there was tar on the inside and the outside, so then if you want to use a teva, then there's a gzeiras hakosuv, that a teva is v'chafarta oisumi bayisumi chutz. You can't change the method. This was a divinely decreed, gifted method of teva with tar on the inside and the outside, and if Moshe the Gilgal wants to use it, it has to be precisely the same. So Rashi has to be madchik. No, it doesn't have to be the same. First of all, Moshe was a greater tzaddik, and therefore we didn't want to disturb him. It would really the smell would really bother him. And furthermore, the waters were calmer. So you know, you could ask a pircha on the gzeres hakol on the mamatzinu. You don't have to make mamish a mamatzinu. You could ask a pircha kolduhu on the mamatzinu of teva, and because the waters were calmer, the quality of the teva did not have to be exactly the same. So Rashi did not get a job for UPS. Rashi is not a shipper, but Rashi, understanding the soidos of Moshe's identity, this is indicated in the fact that Rashi refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as Oisai Tzaddik, and as we know, there are three people called Tzaddik, three people who are Noisei Chen, and they're all the same individual. V'noyach Matzah Chen, why? Noyach Ish Tzaddik, Yosef, Tamim Haya, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yenachem, Yosef, Noach, Moshe.
Rabbi, how come Yocheved didn't use wood? If she had to follow the example of Noach, she used reeds, not wood. Wasn't the same, right? They asked the same question.
No, it doesn't say that she used reeds. Teva, you mean Goyme?
Yeah.
You take what's available. I mean, those were the materials at hand.
Sale at Home Depot.
So, quite interesting that the Rashi almost feels that if not for these distinctions, their manner of Hatzalah should have been identical. Now, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu in number 29, Vayomer Moshe el Hashem. Biyad Hashem. Lo yesh devarim anoichi. I'm not a man of words. Gam etmol, gam mishol shayim, not yesterday, not the day before. Gam eoz dabercha labdecha. I wasn't a man of words from the very first time we met. Ki kvad pelech v'aloshen anoichi. So basically, God tells Moshe, I want you to take the Jews out of Egypt. So Moshe Rabbeinu uses the classic Jewish response, I'm not a speaker. Okay, but the problem is, what did Moshe Rabbeinu mean? I'm not a speaker, not from the first time we spoke. This is the first time they ever met. This is at the burning bush. What's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? I'm not a speaker from the very first time you met me. Okay, this is the first time we ever encountered each other. What did Moshe Rabbeinu mean? That I'm not a speaker, not from well back when. So the Shvilei Pinchas says, according to this introductory principle, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Gilgal of Noach, and in fact, God had spoken to Moshe. God told Moshe, go into the Teva. Hashem told Noach, get into the Teva. And even then, so what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, God, I'm not a man of words. I didn't pray for them back then. I didn't rebuke them back then. So Hashem's saying, that's exactly why I'm picking you. That's exactly why I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you to be a tikkun and a correction for the fact that you didn't pray and the fact that you didn't rebuke them. You're chosen not because you're a ish devarim, but because you were not an ish devarim. Me'oz da'bercha el avdecha. So Marv Rabbi said, this opens us up just a little bit to some of the great mysteries of the Tarasenu HaKadosha. It's interesting, perhaps we could add, based on what we mentioned, that why Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was busy dealing with the Atzmos Yosef. Remember that? In number 25. Why is Moshe so busy with Atzmos Yosef? I mean, because, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu understands. It's Nayach, Yosef, and Moshe. So who better to be involved in that inyan than Moshe Rabbeinu himself? So let us just conclude that when Moshe Rabbeinu rebuked Klal Yisrael, he did so to Masake Noyach, who is not Moicheach b'nei Doira, and this is what Chazal Darshan, Chin Yimtza Ze Moshe, Chin is Oisiois Noyach, it says Noyach Matzo Chin, and it says by Moshe, V'gam Matzo Se Chin Be'enai. And Moshe Rabbeinu took the main Noyach, and he converted it into Mechinina. Okay, the Ribbon Shom should give us Yata Deshmaya, Laharois, Mitoirasoi, Neflois, wishing everybody a terrific day, and anybody who wants to join us later at 5 o'clock for a Sefer Talmud Devorah, please do so. And we'll see you later. Kol Tov, have a good day. Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.